Welcome to the 29th Annual Executive War College brought to you by The Dark Report. This year's conference was in beautiful New Orleans, April 30th through May 1st. The title of this presentation is Digital Pathology's Adoption Curve in the U.S. and Globally and What's Coming Next. The presenter is Joseph Mossel, MSc, CEO, and co-founder, Ibex Medical Analytics, Brookline, Massachusetts.
Thank you, Michael Simpson. Okay, I'm going to bring up Ajit Singh, and he's going to chair and moderate our next part of the session. And Ajit has a long history in imaging. He was at Siemens when, and Siemens is big in radiology imaging. He was their director of their worldwide corporate technology development corporation for many, many years. And then he was the CEO of Bioimaging, a digital pathology company that emerged about 2008, which was acquired by Roche Ventana about 2012. And he's done a lot of venture work, and particularly in imaging of anatomic pathology. So Ajit, come on up, and he's assembled a panel of experts to help you explore what's going on with digital pathology, and we'll end this session with a panel that includes Michael Simpson. So let's bring our friend to the podium, wish him Godspeed in this effort to teach you about artificial intelligence.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good morning. So this is my fourth opportunity at this stage. First time was in 2010, then 2014, then 2018, 2021, and now, somebody asked me this morning at breakfast, how did you get into healthcare? And my response was, well, A, by pure accident. I didn't plan to come into healthcare, but I did plan to stay in healthcare after that. But more specifically, my entry into healthcare was through radiology PACS, and this was late 80s, early 90s. And when I look at the adoption of data technologies and AI in pathology, you know, somebody's watched this movie before. Somebody's built this movie before in radiology. And a lot of my focus this morning would be about trying to draw out some of those parallels to see what experiences have already existed that we could learn from as we implement digital methods, or DP more specifically, as well as AI more generally. My first speaker today is going to be Joseph Mossel. Yossi and I have known each other for probably close to 7 years now, 2017, 2018, when we first met each other. Yossi is trained as an engineer, computer science, from Tel Aviv University in the Netherlands. Some of the early work during your thesis was in energy access in developing world. So quite a change from there to pathology. Your work more recently as the CEO and co-founder of Ibex has all been in taking digital pathology to the new world, or the AI world, if possible. When I first started working with Yossi, we had 3 installations globally. Today, Ibex has about 50, and that journey is what we're going to hear about and what the future holds. Yossi, welcome.
Thank you, Ajit. For me, this is the first time at AWC, and definitely the first time on stage. And yeah, I'm a bit in awe of the audience and just to everyone I've been meeting here in the conversation. This has been a great experience for me. Yesterday at lunch, I was asked a question which I've never been asked before, which was, how did you get into lab? I never even thought about it in that term, that I'm in lab. But by coincidence, I am starting my presentation that way. So I come from a completely different background, computer science, and worked most of my career in enterprise software. Worked for a company most of you might know, for EMC. And then in 2016, a friend of mine invited me to come visit him, a pathologist in his pathology lab. And he was really, really proud to show me that, like, he had a computer screen. There was this pink and purple stains on it, and he was really proud of this thing called digital pathology that they just had acquired there in this hospital in Tel Aviv. And I was unimpressed. I mean, how else would you do it? I was asking him. And he, well, so he told me. We have now this new technology coming out, and pathology is going to be digitized. So that got me thinking. I got together with my co-founder, Chaim Linhart, here in the picture, and the pathologist, Dr. Judith Zambank, and we said, okay, there's already hundreds of companies doing AI in radiology, even then. Why not do AI in pathology? Easy. So that's what we did. We founded a company called IBEX out of Israel, and we, from day one, we were focusing on the clinical use case. So basically what we develop is an AI-powered platform for helping pathologists in the clinical, the day-to-day practice of pathology, and the value that we bring to pathologists and eventually to patients is increased accuracy. So we've demonstrated that pathologists using our system maybe makes a handful of mistakes in every 10,000 cases. Efficiency. In many studies, we've shown that pathologists using our system are up to 1.5x to 2.5x faster than without. And we allow pathologists to glean deeper and more insight from these same slides. I'm often asked why we call the company IBEX. We thought it's a good animal, tenacious, can climb insurmountable cliffs. Possibly if I had seen how steep these cliffs are, we would have gone for a different animal. So just to give you a sense of where we are as a company, so we have most of our customer base is in Europe, and that's primarily because digital pathology has progressed faster in Europe than in the U.S., and I'll talk a bit about that later, why is that. But we do have already customers in the U.S., South America, India, Japan, and Australia. And if you go to any number of pathology conferences, you're quite likely to see one of our customers there on stage talking about using the technology, sharing the results, and sharing their passion for the application of AI. We have here, you can see some of our customers from UPMC, Quest, and NHS in the UK. So back to 2016, we made this momentous decision to go into this brave new world, and we thought, okay, we should maybe learn something about this new world of digital pathology. We went to this conference in London. It's still running, Digital Pathology Conference in London. And, first presentation I go into, they say this is exciting, and then they do this, which was a bit less exciting. And then you start going to presentation, and then there's a presentation about the business case for digital pathology, and another one, and one more, and another, and even one more. And it gets you wondering, if people are talking so much about the business case for digital pathology, is it possible that maybe the business case for digital pathology is not so straightforward? And I think we all know that, right? I mean, I learned it then, but we all know the business case for digital pathology is not slam dunk. And that's the reason that for me, I always think of it as digital pathology and AI. Because AI is what allows to drive these efficiency gains I was talking about, to increase clinical value and make the business case for digital pathology. So here we are, EWC 2024, and I'd say digital pathology is here, not in the sense most of you are not using it today, not in the sense that it's widespread and everyone's adopted it, but the technology is mature. Labs have implemented it and have gone fully digitized, doing every single case digitally. So it is possible today, but we'll know that we've really arrived when we stop talking about digital pathology and simply call it pathology. I moved to the U.S. a few years ago, and I learned one lesson pretty quickly. If I start a sentence with the words, I have a customer in Europe which is doing this or that, eyes glaze over. So I've stopped using that. But please bear with me. I think there are some interesting experiences from Europe, not even necessarily all applicable to the U.S., but I think we should also be looking at what's going on in Europe. And what we see in Europe right now, we recently did this survey of kind of labs in Europe. 90% of the labs in Europe are already somewhere on their journey to digital pathology. Either they're deployed, or they're deploying now, or they're planning to do it within the next few years. And what's really been driving that is it's coming from the top down. So governments are funding digital transformation in healthcare, and then specifically digital pathology. They have a strong tradition of collaboration between government, industry, and the healthcare providers, and that's pushing the industry forward. So if we take a look at the UK, they recognize already in 2017 that they have a massive shortage of pathologists, that turnaround times there. You can have, sometimes it takes 4 weeks to get a diagnosis in NHS. And they started to invest. It's not so easy. I've been in some of these meetings. What they like to do in the UK is they do roundtables, and they bring people from NHS and government and industry and they talk a lot, and you can't imagine anything ever happening out of this, but there was funding eventually, and they managed to go from 5% of NHS trust in 2017 using the technology to 90% of the labs in the UK having access to digital pathology technology. But only 30% of them are actually using it for primary diagnosis. And that's something that I see in general all over the world, and that's why I don't believe any statistic I see about digital pathology. There's a lot of labs out there that have acquired the equipment, but it's not being used day-to-day in clinical practice. And I'll get back to that later and explain why I think that's the case. But still, for us, some good news out of this. There are a lot of labs in the UK using digital pathology through a project called PathLake. They also they funded AI in many of these labs, and we have quite a nice footprint. More than 11 trusts in the UK are using IBEX AI in day-to-day practice. And I'll go a bit deeper into one of them. So here we have Dr. Muhammad Aslam from Betsy, and then some word in Welsh, which I can't pronounce. He's the director of the lab. And this lab, already in 2016, they were fully digitized doing primary diagnostics. The reason I know that, because that was going back to 2016, we went to visit them and see a lab which is really digital. That was also the first time I ever saw a grossing station, which is a different story. A mere 6 years later, Wales have deployed IBEX AI both in this site and making Wales actually the first country in the world which has deployed AI countrywide. So first our prostate application, and now they're deploying our breast. And I've become a bit of a Welsh nationalist since this happened, because I go around reminding people that Wales is a country. So remember that. And here's the difference. So I think the UK at the end, I'm not sure what are the, there's some lessons to be learned there around how to deploy the technology, but really the way the system works there is completely different from the US. But if we go to another customer of ours, Medipath in France, and they're very similar to any commercial lab in the U.S. They're a private organization. They have 30 different sites. They're their largest provider of pathology in France. They're a bit interesting because they're a cooperative. They're owned by the pathologists. But their day-to-day is very, very similar to any commercial lab here in the U.S. They get reimbursed by the government, but they get reimbursed for every case that they get, and they need to go out there and capture business and be efficient and make a profit. So not very different from anyone here. One thing which is different is that roughly speaking, reimbursement in France is about 20 to 25% of what it is in the U.S. And salaries are lower, but not 20 to 25%. So they're under pressure. And already in 2020, they recognize they need to make a change in their business. And they decided to bet on AI and to bet on IBEX. And they, at this point in time, it was really interesting because they already had, they were distributed at 30 different sites, and they sat down and they made the calculations, and they reached a conclusion that for them, there is no business case for digital pathology. So there was not a single scanner there, but they decided they want to go and start use AI. And we started small. They bought a single scanner for a single site. We deployed our prostate application there. That was the only one that we had. And from there, we kept on expanding and expanding. So them buying more scanners and deploying in more sites. And as we released more applications, they're expanding and expanding their usage of AI. And to this day, they only scan the slides where they use the AI. They still to this day don't see value in scanning a slide if it's not going through AI. So by the way, they bought 26 scanners from Philips since they started working with us, and I've yet to receive a check from Philips for all of that. But, so what I see, and this is kind of I see this kind of way of thinking. There's two different approaches which kind of were in these examples of how you can adopt digital pathology and AI. One is really, which makes sense. We're thinking like we're building a building. We do the foundation first. We buy the scanners. We do the workflow on top of that. And then, well, all the foundation is ready, we can start deploying AI applications on top of that. So this is kind of those 6 years that I was talking about with Wales. For me, coming from enterprise software, this is a bit akin to saying, okay, let's first buy a ton of storage arrays, a lot of servers, and now let's start thinking about which applications we want to start running on this. And we see actually our customers who are a bit more application-centric seeing success faster. So basically think of it as digital pathology and AI, and think of it from an application perspective. So this year could be I'm deploying now prostate application in a single site. So I buy enough scanning for that, roll that out, see the success, create the interest and excitement within the organization, and start replicating that, maybe to more sites, maybe to more tissues. But really think of it as applications that I'm rolling out. As you do this, you start to standardize, and it does eventually build up into a full-fledged digital pathology deployment. A bit about the U.S. First of all, my subjective impression is that things are accelerating in the U.S. And when I speak with labs, there's many more labs who already either are somewhere already in the digital pathology path, and I think everyone realizes that this is where we're going. We've seen COVID has been an accelerator. These CPT codes, which maybe people hope will eventually be reimbursed, have created some push. This is driven basically by individual organizations deciding to do this. With some organizations, kind of there's the DPA, the College of American Pathologists is also helping pushing this forward. But more, there is no, I can't say there's any centralized approach to deploying. Just two examples here, and I'll go through them quickly. Ohio State University, more like they were really able to build this foundation. They started out in 2017. They started doing primary diagnosis in 2018, and COVID, they were already completely ready to move to remote, and now almost everything there, almost all of primary diagnosis is done through AI, and they have 12 scanners, a lot of them from Philips. No thanks to me. And now they're ready to deploy AI, and they're working with IBEX, with other companies, and deploying AI within their already existing workflow. A different example is Core Plus, our good friends in Core Plus, a lab from Puerto Rico. And again, they started out with this AI-centric approach, and they're already the world leaders in the usage of AI. They already analyzed more than 10,000 cases using our technology. And you can hear a lot more about that in Mariano's talk tomorrow. And you can read about it in a preprint that just came out in the Journal of Pathology Informatics. This is a study of 3 years of using AI in clinical practice in pathology. So I think that there's a point which is important to remember. The key value of what we're doing with AI, efficiency is important. It allows to deploy technology, but really the key value, at least from my perspective, is that this improves diagnostic qualities. It has an impact on people's lives. I put this number, and everyone tells me, oh, yeah, this is impossible, but this is, we know these numbers, these misdiagnosis rates. We've seen this because we run studies with labs. They send us old cases. We run the AI and we find mistakes. I'm not going to say this is a normal number. Normal numbers range to 3 to 5% error rate in diagnosis, but we have seen a lab, which 20% of their cases, were misdiagnosed. And now we have the technology to stop that from happening. And we've proven this in multiple studies showing that the AI is extremely accurate, and when you have a pathologist using the technology, you go down from these maybe single percentage points up to this number here, to one in tens of thousands cases. And you see here all of these... Each one of these is a case where the you have your breast, prostate, gastric cases. Each one of these is an example of a case where the pathologist misdiagnosed the case, missed the cancer, and all of these colorful heat maps, they show an example of IBEX AI catching these mistakes. So what happens now? So we have some challenges. So while going back to what I started with, moving to digital pathology is a large upfront investment. There is no reimbursement right now, and I don't think anyone knows or is confident when it will happen. The other is, and that relates to this gap between the 90 to 30%, which I alluded to before. Even if you make the investment, moving to digital pathology and AI is a massive transformation from the lab. It changes the IT, the workflow, the clinical practice itself. This kind of, the lab is a completely different kind of machine at the end of this, and that requires massive investment and a lot of motivation to get that done. And not every organization is geared up to do that. Where do I see the opportunities? So one, the core value of digital pathology of AI, better diagnosis, faster. And this is the value proposition we give to labs now, specifically around the efficiency gains. Something I think we don't know how to capture yet is the benefit, the ROI of improved patient care within a healthcare system. One really strong belief that I have, also echoing the previous speaker, any organization which will adopt AI will gain a massive competitive advantage over its competitors. And this is an investment. It takes time. And the competitors will not be able to catch up with a month or two. So whoever starts doing this early will be eventually at a significant advantage. And going back to what I've learned, this doesn't have to be to capture some value to see how this works. It does not mean that you need to first build the entire house. You can deploy application by application, learn as you go, and realize business value faster. Yeah, and I'll end with a call to action. I see time and again, I see the numbers, I see the improvement in patient care, and I think it's up to us, all of us together, to make sure that this happens. Thank you.
This concludes the presentation. Please visit the Executive War College website for details on the 2025 event.